This is All Things Considered at 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. August 28th is the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. Among those who was in that crowd of a quarter million or more is now a state senator from Atlanta, Atlanta Democrat Nan Orrock. Senator Orrock, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks so much, Dennis. Good to be with you and your listening audience.
And we should point out, Senator Orrock joins us in the Senate offices. How old were you at that point? Or how young were you at that point?
I was a rising junior in college, so I was in my late teens.
You are known now as someone who's been active on social causes for a long time. At that point, when the march happened, were you as involved as you are now?
No, I had never been in a march or been involved with an organization working on civil rights. What took me to the march that day is that summer I worked in Washington, a government job typing, and it was the first time I'd worked in an integrated workplace. Of course, I went to segregated schools. I had never been in situations socially or work-wise with people of other colors. And that summer, I became quite connected to the people I worked with in my office. And I was urged by my coworkers, you should come to this march. And I listened to them, I heeded them, and actually was living with an aunt from Tennessee who worked on the Hill, and I had to slip away, shall we say. I certainly could not tell her or my family down in Virginia what I was doing, and I simply told her I was leaving the house to go on a date, which, you know, tickled her, and I didn't realize I had a date with history. That's the date that I had that day. It was a momentous event in my life.
Did just the sheer size of it overwhelm you, send chills down your neck, whatever? What was the feeling when you realized this is huge?
I felt like I was part of a glacier moving down the avenue. It was massive. I mean, little did I realize at that moment, this is the largest mass outpouring that this nation has ever seen. The sheer scale of this mass of humanity moving down the avenue is very powerful. And I've said it many times, but I'll say it again. You know, when I stepped into the streets that day with that march, I took a step that was to have changed and reshaped my life. I had no idea at that time. And I say to people often when I am speaking to crowds that you never know what your own stepping up and standing up, being out on a picket line, being in a rally, being taking action, you have no idea the profound impact that you could be having on other people. That day, I saw marchers from Danville, Virginia, and I immediately approached them. That was my home state. And the people from Danville carrying their sign told me and actually bore the scars of they had been beaten to the ground by police as they sought the right to vote and to get other people registered to vote. And that hit me very, very personally. One, that this was happening in my own home state, and I had the luxury as a white person to not have to know about it in any deep way or in any connected way. I really, quite frankly, Dennis, I realized I'd been miseducated. We all grew up, on the white side of town. Our teachers, we learned about the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence and the great democracy of America. And we weren't told, by the way, millions of people are left out of that. So that was a profound experience for me. The other thing that was so striking is that I really understood myself to be in the presence of courage. It swept over me. The conditions are so bad that people have been willing to put everything on the line, bet it all on changing this country. And by that I mean in the deep South states, if you crossed the color line, if you spoke up, if you stood out in any way and challenged the status quo and the Jim Crow, everything was at risk. Your job, certainly. Your livelihood, the means to put food on your table and keep a roof over your head, to give your children a future, your personal safety. So I was very much struck by understanding I was in the presence of courage. And I resolved that day that I was going to be on the right side of history, that I was going to, I don't think I thought of it then as on the right side of history, but I was going to be in this fight. And I left that march that day knowing where I was going. So I worked for SNCC the very next summer.
Were you actually marching all that long, or were you then just standing for a long period of time trying to hear everybody?
Gosh, I look back now and wonder, why didn't I take pictures? Why didn't I take notes? But I was a young student just absorbing all this. And I don't really know how long I marched. I do know the vantage point was incredible.
You were able to hear what was being said.
Oh, yes. Yes, there's no question about it. And hear Dr. King's speech. And I've said this a number of times. I was so awash in feelings and in this experience and all the people that I was talking with around me and all that I was learning and absorbing and these new realities that were breaking through to me, that the speeches were almost not the highlight for me. The highlights were earlier in the day. I mean, that sounds strange now because you can listen to Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, and it absolutely touches you, the very heart of one. But at that time, I was much more carried away by the stories that I was hearing from people and the insights that I was gaining from being there.
When you heard Dr. King's speech, were you aware at the time that this would be something that people would be memorizing, reciting, taking in 50 years later?
I really have to say, in all honesty, no. I know there were many people in huge numbers there that saw immediately this is the speech of a lifetime. And now I think, how could I not have understood that? But there was a lot that I didn't understand back then. And
what did you think? What was going through your head at the time? Do you remember?
I was simply taking it in, and the rolling cadence. I've listened to it for decades, and quoted it, and it was absolutely, once in a lifetime.
Eventually, I'm sure, your family found out you didn't go on a date that day. How did they react to you having been in the march?
It was a cause for concern. I must say that my parents were not haters. I was not raised to be a hater. My father, actually, when I went to work for SNCC and he drove me to the office, and kind of not what I had planned, but that's how it happened, that he drove me down to Georgia, his home state, and he was just pained beyond telling and said to me, I don't understand. What are you doing? I've worked all my life to get out of poverty, and here you are running back to it. And my mother told me later, he called her and actually wept on the phone. She'd never seen my father or heard my father cry. So it was deeply disturbing, and because it ran counter to everything they'd ever learned as white Southerners. But I was not disowned. I was not kicked out of the house. I was not banned and shunned. Many people were. They thought I shouldn't have done it. They said your aunt said she never would have let you stay there if you were going to do something like this. And they definitely disapproved, but it didn't shake the foundation of love that we had. Now I will say, many years later, my mother wrote me a letter, and she said, I wanted to tell you how proud I am of you. She said, you understood what Dr. King was working for, and you took a stand. And I didn't understand it then. So many people didn't. But I'm so proud of who you are and what you've done. And that was an incredible, incredible and wonderful way that she evolved.
Senator Nan Orrock, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis.